Today's sermon is called God Calling. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our epiphany, hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's hard to answer a ringing telephone, isn't it? Many of us remember the days before answering machines that bell would clang and clatter until one of two things happened. We either picked up the receiver or the person on the other end finally gave up and hung up. It would just ring and ring, and you knew somebody really wanted to get a hold of you if it kept ringing for 10, 15, 20 rings, just went on and on. So Jesus' call of the first four disciples has this directness about it. There's no negotiation with these folks. He chooses them, and they follow. We talked about that last week, right? The difference between being picked and being chosen. Jesus chooses these first four disciples, and we're left to wonder about maybe who they were, their family situation, even how old they were at the time of calling. And let's not even get started on poor Zebedee, right? His sons just get up and leave the boat. And what does the father think about all that? Mark's gospel simply tells us that these fishermen just stopped their lives up to that point, and they followed Jesus. Now, later Gospels are a little more satisfying and give us some more of that detail, right? And we typically remember the calling of Simon and the sons of Zebedee from Luke's Gospel. Remember that? Sure you do, but let's review anyway, right? So they let down their nets after working all day and catching nothing, and suddenly there are so many fish they can't lift them into the boat. This is put there because maybe the fishing industry dried up under Roman occupation. And this symbolism is here to remind us that only the Messiah can give such a miracle. They're looking for the Messiah to oust the Romans. Now that would give us a little more context, a little more dialogue to understand these first disciples and how they were chosen and why they did what they did. But Mark's gospel doesn't do that. Mark's gospel does not prepare us with these background details of these persons. So it's a little shocking for us to see them just drop everything and follow and not know how or why. But that's intentional, I think. Mark is trying to say to us that when there's a telephone ringing, a call coming in, God's reaching out to us, it's just not possible not to pick up that phone and start listening to the message that God places in us from that point forward. Mark is the first of the gospel writers, and his emphasis is on the authority of Jesus and the response of the disciples. So we're lucky to have these two basic focuses on the entire gospel before us. And those two focuses are where Jesus is, there's the kingdom of God. And they hear, the disciples hear, they really hear his word. Now, we don't take too much time to dwell on this because it's really too frightening for many of us. Follow me, Jesus says, means literally come after me. Jesus hadn't reviewed a resume to see whether these persons have the background he's looking for in a disciple. They are chosen with the promise that if they bear witness to him, others will follow too. And he says all this in the words of their occupation. I will make you fishers of people, he says. But we're perfectly happy in our homes doing our own thing, aren't we? Would we hear God if God gave that call? How do we really hear the word? A call from God to follow isn't restricted to clergy either, or and just other church workers. A call from God is for all of us. We're confronted with a decision to question life's ultimate loyalties. It's a way for us to re-examine in our lives what's happening, or whether or not our humdrum routines are enough. If this sounds a little abstract, it's because it is. When we love and serve God, we can sometimes know that in real time, but more often, we see these things in the rearview mirror, don't we? We look back and we say, "Oh, that was a holy moment." Or did you see what happened back there? Why do we sequester God to the time that has passed? Because when we remember those moments, do we have the fierce urgency of now to do more? Do we hear the telephone ringing? All right, I want to talk about one other thing, and this is important for us. Because our trying and our failure to follow Jesus don't in any way bar us from salvation in our attempted obedience to God's sovereignty in the world and our life. What saves us is Christ's obedience to God's will, showing us that death doesn't have the final word, but the continual renewal of that cross should give us the oomph we need to be able to continue building and living in God's kingdom each day. Peter, I think, gives us the best example of this, of what I'm talking about. Right? We all know Peter. He fails to stay awake in Gethsemane. He engages in violence in that same garden by cutting off Malchus's ear. He saves his own skin by saying that he doesn't know Jesus on that night where he was hauled before the Sanhedrin, the night of his crucifixion, and yet, still, he remembers the words of this first day. Follow me. Peter is the rock of the church who stumbled and fell and stumbled and fell, and yet his faith renews him. Christ forgives him. As it should renew us, as we should know that we are forgiven. Most acts of faith, my friends, they're not going to be earth-shattering. We have nothing to prove in the kingdom of God because it's not about us. It's about things that are bigger than us, the calling of the nations, as it says in Matthew 25, to understand that we who have much must give and share with those who have not. Do you hear the phone ringing yet? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. We come here to church to hear the word of the Lord and to try and understand it for our modern ears and lives. But while preaching comes to groups just like ours right here, right now, the call to follow God comes to individuals. We can easily figure out reasons to just keep on keeping on with our lives. Often it has to do with our thinking that our needs are more material than spiritual. And boy, we sure know how to look out for our material needs, don't we? I'm not advocating that we sell everything and ignore those around us who love us. What I am saying is that we do create these barriers, these walls in our minds and our hearts that give us permission not to answer that ringing phone. And with just enough practice in ignoring it, that we might, in our modern lives, take that mobile phone, put it on silent, maybe put it on do not disturb, maybe even just turn it off altogether. But you know what? Jesus is calling anyway, no matter how much we try to ignore it, and we all know it. We've all heard it. That ringing may be soft or loud, and it might be noticed today or next week or next month, and or you may have noticed it sometime in the past. But God says, as we pick up that phone, that we must serve outside our own needs to know the fullness of grace that Christ promises. And that promise is more than just full fish nets. Where do we see that phone of God's outreach? Have we answered it? What happened when we did? Do you hear the phone? Thanks be to God. Amen.